Quoting statistics is not sufficient. You know, we can see some of the statistics. I actually did a search on Docket Navigator, and for motions to stay pending IPRs filed since 2018, Judge Albright granted 0% of them. Judge Gilstrap granted 8% of them, which was essentially two motions to stay. Delaware courts, those judges granted 39% of them. But the statistics by themselves are not enough. You have to provide the PTAB more. If you're citing to cases, those cases have to be aligned with the facts in your particular situation. And another thing, it's an interesting approach, but this neutralizes this factor if you are a defendant, and that's what you're seeking to do, is you can file a motion to stay knowing that the court's going to deny it without prejudice. So there's a recent case, it's Cisco v. Ramot, and they filed before Judge Gilstrap a motion to stay pending IPR, and he denied it without prejudice. And what the PTAB said there is, well, that neutralizes that factor. So if you're trying to neutralize that factor for those courts that would not otherwise grant a stay, that's one way to neutralize that factor, which is not something that's actually, you know, you may think would be effective, but PTAB says that it is. The second factor is the proximity of the trial date to the statutory deadlines. And that one, the statutory deadline for the final written decision, we've tended to view that in the past as if the case is going to trial before that decision, that's going to be in favor of granting institution or of denying institution. There are some recent things that have been happening, but before I get to those, one consideration is the likelihood of trial continuance. So if you're in a court as a petitioner and you have to raise these issues in your opening, in your petition, because you may not have an opportunity to address the FinTab factors later. You could ask for it, certainly, but you may not have that ability. So what you would do is raise the possibility that this case is likely to be continued. The parties have agreed to continuances. The pandemic has resulted in continuances. There's 25 cases set for trial on the trial date. Likelihood of continuance is high. There is a recent Law 360 article that came out a couple of days ago. The Perkins Coie firm did an analysis of decisions denying institution that had relied on the trial date as the basis for denying institution. And in 94% of those cases, those trials were continued. And so the point being that this trial date and the reliance on the trial date by itself should not be sufficient. And in fact, Senator Tillis just sent a letter to the USPTO and talked about the impact of litigation in one district in particular, did not identify that district, but said, you know, that the fact that the PTAB was focusing on the trial dates when those trial dates were not realistic, that needed to be fixed. So I think to some degree we'll probably see less emphasis on trial dates, but certainly one way to defeat that is to argue the likelihood of continuance and rely on some statistics to back that up. All right. Next is investment in the investment in parallel proceeding. So the simple one is if there's been an order where the court has construed the claim, That factor is going to go in favor of denying institution. But this is about a court order. There are plenty of cases where joint claim construction has been filed. The opening claim construction brief has been filed. And that is not the basis for necessarily finding in favor of denying institution. It's a court order with respect to that patent. Another consideration when you're looking at the investment in parallel proceedings is the petitioner's diligence or their delay in filing a petition. So a couple of cases. You're diligent if you file as soon as you know what the asserted claims are, or shortly after you find the prior art. You've delayed if you wait until after you've gotten the plaintiff's response to your invalidity contentions in litigation, or if you fail to provide any explanation. Again, the reason that your petition should explain, should include an explanation related to the FinTIF factors is because there's going to be a question about why you delayed. Now, there's everything in between, right? There's a case that says you found out about the asserted claims and you waited quite a while after you found out about the asserted claims, but you filed before you got the response to the invalidity contentions, and therefore this one kind of is a marginally favors institution. But I think the bottom line is when you're analyzing this particular factor, either as a petitioner or patent owner, is to argue or to compare the remaining investment of time and effort to what has already been invested. So that comparison is what's helpful to the analysis on this particular factor. I want you to keep me in line in terms of time.